Well, hello and welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. It is good to be with you. I always look forward to our times together. They are a blessing for me in my walk and relationship with the Lord. They help me to refocus my attention on Him through the day and help me to grow in my dependence and trust and reliance upon Him. And I pray these times do that for you as well, that they're helping you grow to know our Lord better and to be closer to Him. I hope as you watch this that you've already been having a wonderful day. As I film this, it's beginning to cloud up, the wind's starting to blow. We're supposed to have thunderstorms later on. Some of them may even be severe. We pray that God will keep those, that God will moderate those so it will not become severe. But you know, whenever it is that you're watching this, whatever your day is, and again, I hope it's a good day, the best part is the fact that we get to meet with our Lord. And so before we open His Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day. Lord God, for creating us. Father, thank You for Your love, O God, that You've shown us through Your Son. Father, for the salvation You've made possible through Him, for bringing us to that salvation. Lord, the eternal relationship to which You have brought us. Father, as we're here before You this day, as we open Your Word, Father, open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding, O God, of this passage. And Father, through that understanding, may we hear from You personally. Lord, to know You better, to be able to walk closer to You, to be able to trust You more. Father, to be able to experience You in our life and in our walk. Father, reveal Yourself to us, O God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a good day. But I realize there's the very real possibility that you might not be having what we would think of as a good day. You may be concerned or worried or burdened about some issue. There may be some problem that you're facing. Maybe the times in which we live have you very concerned, and certainly good reason for that. But we have a God that is in fact so great and wonderful that not only can we trust Him in all things, but we can in fact thank Him in all things at all times. This is exactly what we see as we open God's Word to Psalm 75. And like all of God's words, not written in what we'd call good times. And yet you think about the wonderful fact that it begins with a note of praise and thanksgiving. I mean, look at this psalm with me. It's Psalm 75. Look at beginning in verse 1. We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks. Wonderful statement of praise. But notice as we keep reading that is not necessarily in the backdrop of what we would call good days. For Your name is near. Men declare Your wondrous works. When I, this is a quote, you know, he's quoting God here, when I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who firmly set its pillars. Selah. I said to the boastful, do not boast. To the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed. He pours out of this. Surely all of the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked He will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Again, you think about what the psalmist is writing, the backdrop there. He talks about the boastful. He talks about the wicked. He talks about God's judgment falling, which means that there is sin and evil and wickedness that God needs to judge. So the backdrop of this is not what you and I would call good times. And yet in the midst of it, the psalmist was able to say, as we just read in verse 1 a moment ago, we give thanks to You, O God, we give thanks. What should enable us to not just trust God in the midst of our difficult time, but to actually give thanks? Well, think about what the psalmist here, what Asaph was in fact inspired to write. As we look at the psalm, as we see the reasons why, we see the first of all, the first reason is God's nearness. Look again at verse 1. Again, we give thanks to You, O God, we give thanks. for your name is near. Now understand the difference between our culture and the culture of the ancient world. I know when we think of a name, we think of really just the reference, the word reference for somebody. You know, parents come up with names that they like, or maybe a family name, whatever the case may be. But in ancient times, name did not only was the reference to that person, but it actually showed their character, their heart, who they really were. And so when it talks about God's name being near, well, somebody's God's character, God himself, is in fact near. As we go through every situation, we need to remember, in fact, the nearness of God, not just his omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere at one time, including wherever it is we find ourselves, but here we're talking about the expressed nearness of God. Here we're talking about the active nearness of God. Here we're talking about God working and moving. You think about what we read in Isaiah chapter 41 in verse 10, where it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is in fact with us in these times in which we live. God is with us. God is with you in your present situation. You are not alone. God is personally, actively with you. We have God's nearness. What a reason to trust and to even give thanks in the midst of a difficult situation. God's nearness. But notice as well, we have God's sovereignty. You think about what we see in verses 2 and 3. "When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt, and it is I who have firmly set its pillars." You think about the key words there. Very first part of verse 2, "I have selected an appointed time." God has set the exact second that he will in fact move and deal with sin and make all things right when he will actively judge. God has already in fact set the exact second. As you and I look upon these situations, and so often we get dismayed, disheartened, concerned, worried, we think they're out of control. We need to understand God is not only near us in that situation, but God has also set the exact second and is simply waiting for his perfect time that he's already established in which to work and to move. You know, we sometimes struggle to remember that God is in absolute control, but we need to remember his sovereignty. But notice what else we see, because he set that exact time. But notice what else we see in the latter part of verse 3. "It is I who have firmly set its pillars." You know, so often we look around and we think that everything is falling apart. Well, it's not. And the main reason it's not falling apart, not just merely trying to be, you know, optimistic per se, the reason things aren't, quote, falling apart is because we have God who's holding all things together. You think about what we see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." The reason things aren't, quote, falling apart is because he's holding them together. If things are falling apart, it's because he's the one tearing them apart. God might, in fact, take everything apart, but things aren't just in and of themselves falling apart. We have a God who holds things together. Whether we're talking about this world until the period in time which he has determined he'll judge it, or the circumstances in our life, God is, in fact, sovereign. He has appointed the exact second that he will work and move, and nothing's going to fall apart until he, in fact, takes it apart in his righteous movements. God is, in fact, sovereign. And even as we look at the circumstances of the world, even as we look at the situations in our lives, we can be thankful that God is, in fact, sovereign. But notice as well, we also have God's righteousness. Again, you think about what we read in the latter part of verse 2. "It is I who judge with equity." Look at verses 4 and 5. "I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Look at verse 8. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all of the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. You know, do not think that the evil, that the wicked are somehow getting by with it. They're not getting by with anything. They may be accruing interest on God's judgment, but God is not, they are not getting by. God has clearly warned them, and it's not an empty threat. He will judge. That's not to say that we rejoice in God's judgment falling upon any individual soul, but we can, in fact, thank God that all the sin and evil and wickedness, all the hurt and wrongdoing that we see taking place is not going to be allowed to go by. God is, in fact, going to completely, totally deal with it. And we can thank God as we look at so much evil and wickedness in our world, in our nation, from high offices all the way down to the street. Again, in his perfect time, God is, in fact, going to deal with every last bit of it. We can thank God for his righteousness. We can have confidence in it. Again, not that we rejoice that a particular individual or a group of people come under his judgment, but that he does, in fact, move in righteousness in his perfect time, according to his sovereign control over all things. But then notice what else we see. We've already hinted at this, but it needs to be brought out and made clear. We see God's involvement. You think about what we see in verses 6 and 7. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. You think about God's involvement and work and move in our life, in our world. Again, he will judge the wicked. He will bless and promote and place his own. The prime example of that is David. From being shepherd boy to being anointed king over Israel, that's quite a career jump. But it is God who, in fact, made it happen. God is personally involved in our lives. You know, we need to understand as we work, as we move, as we face circumstances and situations, God is not merely out there somewhere. God is not just peeking over a cloud to see how well we're doing. God is personally involved in our situation. He is, in fact, present. He's near, as we talked about. And how that ought to cause us to give thanks in these times in which we live, our own situation. The fact that this very moment, God is at work. And then you think about where that work leads to. As we look at number 5, God's blessing. Look at verses 9 and 10. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. God will bless his people. He blesses us now with his presence, his strengthening, his leading, his guidance, just that nearness that we experience of him. But then he will ultimately bless us because his plan will in fact be one of blessing and good. You think about those verses, you probably know them very well. But Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. God's blessing. This very moment, in whatever it is we're facing, our God is near to us, and he is righteous. He is at work, and his work will always lead to his blessing. We have the blessing of his nearness and strength now. We have the blessing of his ultimate plan in that situation, in our lives, in these times, in this world. You know, no wonder Asaph was able to begin the psalm, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks." He's given us every reason to as well. And how we, as we face today, face these times, yes, in faith and trust, we also need to face them in thanksgiving because of our wonderful Lord, his nearness, his work, his goodness. We have a wonderful God that we can trust in every situation in our life, in times even such as these. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, O Lord, for who you are. for being the almighty, wonderful, sovereign, great and gracious God that you are. Father, may we trust you with worldwide events, but also the events and circumstances, the situations, oh God, in our life. Lord, may we rest upon you, lean upon you, and oh God, thank you in the midst of it because of your presence and your work. Father, thank you so much for your love. We love you. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you go through remembering these wonderful truths. God is with you. He is righteous. He is working. He will bless. And I hope that as you walk with him through this day that, like Asaph, your heart will be filled with thanksgiving unto him.